feel kind of funny to not stand on hallowed ground. There have been many great men of God stood here and proclaimed Jesus and Him crucified to His people. Sunday night when I went to church, this was all kind of a surprise to me. And I knew that things would never be the same no more. Didn't bother me too bad till Monday. I got down in Florida and I began to weep, having doubts and fears, and I believe at that time Satan was tempting me. I began to cry. When I get like that, when I just as quick as I get to the motel, I call Sister Merle and I talk to her. She is my companion, and she can kind of soothe me when nobody else can. Tuesday morning, I woke up, looked in the mirror. I called her at 6 o'clock in the morning. "Merle, my hair is getting gray. I believe it's falling out. I don't know what to do." She told me it was all right. Come on back home. Do not worry about it. I desire your prayers. This is a great charge laid upon me. And I pray that you'll pray for me. Today is my birthday. I don't watch much television, but watching television this afternoon, there's a program comes on called Jewish Chronicles, and I like to watch it. And as I watch it and how they have suffered through the many years, sometimes my heart is just broken. I think about the suffering that they have went through in my lifetime. Today is my birthday, but yet in my lifetime, 6 million Jews have been killed. There have been a great world war. Many thousands of American troops have been killed. Many went off to war, and many of you that sat out there tonight served in that great war. Men were closer to God then. They needed God. I think about how families were drawn together then, and how they came together and how they worshiped together. And the father would demand that the mother and the children sat down to a table and worship. God was first. They needed God. We was in a great war. Our soldiers were over there, and every family in America was touched. Hardly any was left alone. Nieces and nephews, many were in prisoner of war camps, and we needed God so bad. But God heard our cry, and He heard our plea, and He answered it, and we won the war. Then there was Korea, and so many things that have happened. I asked my son one day, I said, we were looking at an old house. I said, "What do you see when you see that house, and what do you hear?" "Daddy, I don't hear nothing." I said, "I do. I can look at an old house today, and I hear the voices of children. I hear the voices and the sounds of livestock being fed. I hear the singing of children in the evening time as they go about their chores. And most of all, I can smell the smell coming from the kitchen as every day winds down and everybody gathers around the table. But most of all, we remember how God has blessed the family." Our dear brother tonight in his prayer spoke about America going back to where it was. It is our prayer and desire today as God's children that America do turn back to where it was. Not just only when we were in crisis that we needed God, but that we may once more teach our children the marvelous works of God. There is a woman that comes on radio that I listen to a lot called Dr. Laura. She is a psychologist, and I listen to her pretty much every day. I ride in a truck and I listen to her AM radio a good bit. She was talking one day about Sunday school, and that makes me so glad we don't have Sunday school. She said Sunday school teachers have become about like counselors. They are no more than counselors. And in summer camp in many areas of the land today, especially in the north, when they send their children off to camp, they call it religious camp, but the counselor is more interested in lining out games, swimming meets, and soccer than he is teaching the children the Word of God. Sunday schools throughout the nation today has evolved into parents letting the Sunday schools teach their children. I thank God that we as Primitive Baptists do not do that. But it is our duty to teach our children. We have lost generations of children because we did not do that. We allowed other people to teach our children, and we allowed those in schools, and we have even allowed government to go so far as to teach our children. This is wrong. This is the duty of the parents. It's the duty of the church. It's the duty of the grandfather and the grandmother. Deuteronomy 6. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgment which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. So this lays the charge not only to the family, but to the grandfather. The grandfather, the father is to teach his son and to teach his son's son the ways of the Lord. We are not to leave it up to other people. This is where America has failed our children so miserably. We fail to teach them the ways of the Lord. We leave it up to governments and other people, and they'll surely lead them wrong. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that you may increase mightily as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. And in the 7th verse, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. This is a big charge we're to do to our children that we fail to do today. Television has took the place of the word of the family. I go into families and I am so guilty myself. I did not bring it before my children. It was just a few years ago that we even said grace. This I am deeply ashamed of, but there I was walking in the world in a natural way and had no fear nor no desire of God. And that is my shame, and I speak to you today and I'm ashamed of it. But I do have a chance with my grandchildren to teach them and to try to some way or another set an example to them, that when schools bring environmentalism to them, that I can teach them that God is in control of this earth. Amen. When they teach our children in school that we evolve from apes, I can teach my grandchildren God made us out of dust and breathed life into us, and God made us in His own image. When they teach that the world was formed billions of years ago, I can teach from the scriptures. They may not listen, but I can teach it. And we all can teach our children. We have failed them so much. How many times today do we gather our children around and our grandchildren, and we gather them around and we read scripture to them? We don't do it. A lot of times we tell them to leave them to go off to watch television, and we go about our satisfying our own self. This is taking a toll on our children. We have a government today that believes in the children. We have an administration that will tell you that the children, they just feel so good for the children, they worry about cigarette smoke. Cigarette smoke takes 6 years off the life of an adult. AIDS takes off 30. But they condone it. They condone drugs into schools today, but they come before us on television so worried about the children. They tell us that they have convinced television to start showing children's programs. but they refuse to take off the smut, the soap operas, and the filth and the language. They want it to stay on. This confuses our children. It is our duty as parents and grandparents and uncles and aunts to bring this to them. The world is not going to help us with our children. But these are my commandments, the statutes and the judgments which the Lord God has commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life. Brothers, we ought to bring the word of God to our children. We are to elect officials to rule over us that will be God-fearing men that our children might see. Many people today, they say, well, so-and-so is good for the country. We, the country just prospers, but tell that to the child in the womb. They say the country is just prospering today, we have no inflation. Tell that to the illegitimate child on the street. They talk about what prosperous nation we are today. Tell that to the runaway girl that has been abused and run away. For those that say we just prosper today in America, I see them every day on the street. They don't prosper too good. We can say, oh, what a great and glorious country we have. But we have children today that hates it. They hate authority. They have no conscience. Tonight as I speak to you, I have a niece in San Antonio, Texas, that run away from home at 14. She will come home Tuesday under police escort. But as our family is not the only family that's faced this. As many families face it every day. But the problem is, when you talk to this child, she has no conscience whatsoever. You can tell her you've done wrong, we know you've done wrong, and she'll stand and look at you. She don't really care. This is what our children is coming to. Let us teach. It is our responsibility to teach. It's our responsibility to set an example. It's our responsibility to lead, for they need leadership, and they need leadership from the church. They need to know the truth. They may not obey it, but somewhere down the road, they will. Sister Merlin and I were talking coming up about her father. There was a time I used to carry him to church. I didn't believe in this doctrine. I was raised up till I was 19 years old in another order. I went to Sunday school. I was in all the youth leagues. Some way or another, I could never get into it fully. But that's another story. But when I met her, she was Primitive Baptist. Her daddy was a wonderful man, but he had a lot of patience. And he was a good teacher. I used to carry him to church. He'd ask me when I come to see him, he'd say, you want to go to meeting this morning? I didn't really want to go, but I loved him. And I began to hear a new doctrine. A new doctrine of how Christ Jesus had died. And this wasn't an ongoing thing. It was a finished work. I was raised up to believe that it was an unfinished work. And I was told by ministers that Jesus had gone to prepare a place for us and had left us to finish the work. But he began to teach me and to tell me the wondrous works. And we would go to, I'd take him to church and he'd ask me on the way home, do you believe this? And he would read scripture. And very gentle, very kind, and I'd say, no, sir, I don't believe a word. Brother Frank made a statement one time. He said, I used to preach my heart out to you and your father-in-law there, and you didn't believe a word I said. I said, brother, I do now. I do now because what you said stuck. But as he would teach us, and he would tell us, and he would just very gentle. But soon I got to believing it. And the day that God brought us back into the fold from the world, I called Myrtle one morning. I said, Myrtle, we've got to get in church. We've got to be in church Sunday. She said, where are we going? I said, sweet home. I remembered the words and the wisdom that he had spoke and he had given me. the teachings that he had given us. At the time he done it, it had no results. Today he lies in hallowed ground. He don't even know that I'm standing here or that she's in this church. But everything that he wanted has come to pass, and I thank God for it, and I thank God for his wisdom and his teachings. We can do that to our children today, and it is our responsibilities. The government and the world is going to teach them one way, and we've got to teach them the truth. If we don't tell them the truth, they will fail. But if we tell them the truth, the day will come when they need the truth, and they will remember what Daddy and Mama and what Granddaddy and Grandmama told them. Let us pray for our nation and our children. And as I stand before you tonight, this is all new to me. As I told them today in Dublin, I've got a long way to go. There was a time when I stood down there that I had an option to cut and run. I could either grunt and cough and tell the minister that I couldn't, wasn't able to pray tonight. I had the option to pray without speaking. I had the option to just sit in the pew. But up here, God demands perfection. He demands that if I speak from this Bible and it be true. He demands that I don't put my doctrine in here, but preach the doctrine that his apostles is put in here. He demands perfection if I stand here. This is a great work, and it's a great calling. I sincerely desire your prayers. I pray that you pray that I be low. For low and weak, I will always seek God. I pray for humility. And I pray that you pray that God give me humility, that I always know that I need him. But most of all, I pray and ask you to pray for me, that God give me truth, and that I always, anytime I speak, it be truth. For worthy is him to be praised. Thank you for your good intentions.